Now, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids.
CBS News Brief. The Labor Department reports 151,000 jobs added to the U.S. economy last month, with unemployment up slightly from 4 to 4.1%. Economist Gus Fauché.
As of early 2025, the labor market is quite solid, and the unemployment rate remains historically low.
Today's numbers do not take into account federal government firings. China is calling U.S. tariffs arbitrary and two-faced. The nation's foreign minister through an interpreter.
No country should fantasize that it can suppress China and maintain good relations at the same time.
Another SpaceX rocket has broken apart after launch. Brett Bostwick was on his boat in the Bahamas when he saw debris streaking through the sky.
It maybe got about 20 degrees above the horizon and, you know, turned into a huge ball of fire.
Some airline flights in South Florida were grounded as a precaution. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Tune in this week to Seth Faces the Music, where I'll be playing songs about going fast. Don't blink, you might miss it. Check it out every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. on WFHR.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Leases for other data center projects have been canceled, but a several billion-dollar plan for southeastern Wisconsin remains on track. Stuart J. Waddles has more.
Microsoft officials say their commitment to Racine County remains unchanged. It comes after Microsoft canceled other data center leases in other parts of the country. The company owns about 2,000 acres in Mount Pleasant, and in a statement, they're reaffirming their commitment to the original $3.3 billion data center investment. Some construction was paused in December as a new design was worked out. The tech giant also has plans to build a data center in Kenosha.
Things change this weekend, like the time. Brittany Merlot explains.
It's about time to spring ahead. Yep, it's the shortest weekend of the year, with us losing an hour of sleep Saturday night. At 2 a.m., clocks will roll ahead to 3 a.m. Phones will automatically do this for us, but those traditional clocks on the wall, you'll need to adjust them. So it's also a good time to change out the batteries on smoke and carbon monoxide detectors, too. And this sudden shift in time may make us sleepy and affect our moods a little. So try to start adjusting your sleep schedule now.
There's a meeting in Stevens Point next week to discuss the idea of hiring a city administrator. Those in favor of the idea believe the position will be key to streamlining facilities and operations as they move into a new city hall. The position of mayor will focus more on advocating for and celebrating the city in the public eye, while the city administrator can focus on maximizing administrative effectiveness alongside department directors. The Personnel Committee will meet on Monday, March 10th at 6:40 to discuss and possibly take action on the referral. If it passes, the addition of a hired staff position of city administrator will move forward to the full council. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
Partly cloudy today. We'll get to the upper 30s for a high this afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear, 18. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 44. And then we're going to warm it up Sunday, sunny, low 50s. By Monday, sunshine with a high close to 60. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 28.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us at WFHR. Got your host, James, behind the mic. I am joined by Seth.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We got some fun stuff lined up for you. We're going to kick things off with some entertainment news. A little bit later, Seth and I will get in some other fun ones. Got a life hack about jump scares. Got a bunch of good stories of the day. We'll get into our schedule and plenty more.
All right.
Plenty more lined up for you. But we can begin with some entertainment news. And the search is on for the next James Bond. I have thrown my hat in the ring.
Yeah, he's keep trying, man. Keep reaching for the stars.
I mean, you don't even have to do that much. My name is James. It's half of the job is done for you. And I can do an English accent.
Yes, you can. How about, what is James Bond's middle name? Does he have one? Maybe he doesn't.
The name is Bond.
James Ezekiel Bond. I don't know.
I love that idea.
It's got to be something far out there, though. It's got to be something really you never saw coming, or like Margaret or something like that, you know? There's a growing movement online to get Pierce Brosnan back.
What?
Even though he is 71.
Oh.
Well, I'll give him this. They've never done that one.
They have. You are absolutely right.
Pierce was asked about it, asked if he'd like to do it, and he said yes and no. Quote, right. Of course, how could I not be interested, but it's a delicate situation now. I think it's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Really, I think so. It's a rather romantic notion, the idea, but I think everything changes, everything falls apart. I think that's that it's best left to another man, really, fresh blood. Pierce Brosnan, this is interesting coming from him. And of all the people to ask, I think he may be the best of all the former Bonds that are still with us. I would have loved to have heard what Roger Moore would have to say, but I'd like to hear what Roger Moore has to say about anything.
Right, right. Yeah, exactly.
I think we didn't appreciate Roger Moore.
Not at all.
We just did not appreciate him.
As much as we should have, yeah.
I'm not trying to speak for everybody, but if there's anybody out there who their favorite Bond was Roger Moore, everybody else, we didn't appreciate him enough.
Yes, I agree.
Especially because half the time he had the job, people were talking about Pierce Brosnan would be the perfect Bond.
Okay. Yep. Yeah. And they tried in the 80s to do it, but he was in the show Remington Steele at the time. He had commitments. He couldn't do it, which is why they went with Timothy Dalton, a couple movies there. And then finally, when they came back to him and said, hey, you're ready now. And he was like, yep. So that was the kind of thing. Here. Oh, I've got it, man. This is it. This is what they need to do. And they can get, and then they can involve Pierce Brosnan in this too, because it would be very cool. So what they need is, you know, redo everything. They cast the new Bond, man, woman, doesn't matter who it is. Okay, Pierce Brosnan comes back as an elderly James Bond, and we learned that the name James Bond has just been passed down from agent to agent throughout the years.
I love that.
And then they could do so. Think about what they could do with that, man.
Oh, my God. That's so good. That's so good. You should copyright it. That's so good. That's really
good. I just hope someone comes up with an idea like that. That would be interesting to me. I have not been interested in Bond for a long time. Mm-hmm. You know, I like the old movies. They're campy and fun and all this kind of stuff. I wasn't really big on the serious turn, you know, with nothing wrong with, you know, with Craig. But it's just I wasn't interested in that. That would get me interested again.
That would be pretty darn cool.
Yeah.
And it would fit the storyline.
I think it would. I think you could do it.
It would fit a lot of that. Mm-hmm. I think that is a really cool idea. You'd kind of they're going to revamp this anyway.
They do
it every time they change Bond. Mm-hmm. It's completely different. So as long as you're doing that, why not do that with a tip to the hat to the past?
Why not?
But
I think that'd be pretty cool. Yeah.
How about this? As Pierce Brosnan's walking into the room, you don't see him. You just see his shadow going past Connery and Moore and like all the previous Bonds that are no longer around.
Ooh.
And then the camera flips and there's Pierce.
Yeah. See, that would be good too.
I think that'd be that got chills thinking about
that. That's a great trailer, if nothing else. That would be really cool.
I almost wouldn't care who Bond was. If you give me all that, yes, I'm in. Like, Carrot Top is Bond. Like, all right, I'll give it a shot. Like, we haven't had a redheaded Bond. We haven't.
Why not? We've had blonde and black. Let's try something new.
Pierce, of course, played Bond four times. GoldenEye, Tomorrow Never Dies, World Is Not Enough, and Die Another Day.
Mm-hmm.
And GoldenEye changed the complete landscape of action movies.
Yeah. Yeah.
I will die on this hill. There is nothing that can change it. I study this stuff. Mm-hmm. I literally went to school for this stuff.
Right.
There's not a lot of things I know. It's a very small wheelhouse, everybody. But
right.
This one, I am confident on. It really is amazing to think of. And
right.
Also completely changed the arc of his career.
Mm-hmm.
Pierce Brosnan, people might forget, was known as just like a handsome face.
Yeah.
Like he wasn't given a lot of credit as an actor or anything like that.
Remington Steele did okay. It didn't do that well. And then he was kind of, you know, looking for parts in between when he was cast as Bond. But
when he finally took the role of Bond, it was a little bit later than I think a lot of people would have liked him to. But he took the ball and ran with it, man.
He did it so well.
And everything he's done since then, like I feel like almost every time I see him, oh, that's the best work I've seen of Pierce Brosnan.
Mm-hmm.
Penny Dreadful or some of the movie work he's done.
Yep.
Like I didn't know he had that in him.
Yep.
He's had a really nice career.
He has. He still seems so suave in real life. I wonder if he's really like that or not.
He just seems that way, right? Hall & Oates can't be done forever, but it looks like they might be. They'll patch things up sooner or later, right? Doesn't sound like it.
Uh-oh.
Daryl Hall was asked if he'd ever reunite with John Oates, and he said, quote, "That ship has gone to the bottom of the ocean. I've had a lot of surprises in my life, disappointments, betrayals, so I'm kind of used to it." Hall also went for the jugular, saying that he wrote most of the songs. Quote, "The songs with his lead vocals are the songs he wrote, mm-hmm. and all the other ones, which is about 90%, are the ones I wrote." Hall is 78, Oates is 76. So when they say never is never, this is probably in this day and age, it's hard to say something will never happen.
Right,
it's pretty far fetched to say that. Actually,
yep.
you're probably going to be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
This one,
I have to say, that's not a good look for Daryl Hall.
No.
Because, okay, yeah, we get it. You wrote the majority of the songs that were hits. Yeah, I totally, you know, good stuff. I like the music there. Since they broke up, what you doing, Daryl?
Yeah, yeah.
If it was such, it was all you, why didn't you continue on with a string of hits?
What's Daryl Hall's solo career like?
That's my question. Yeah. John Oates has gone on to do some very interesting things in his career, and I think he's made his peace with it. It doesn't sound like Mr. Hall has done the same thing.
I will be very honest here. I have never been a Hall & Oates guy. Right. It's never been my music. My dad
those
played
of us
it.
Care.
Yeah, my dad played it like crazy. But I actually feel like I have a, like a, because of that, I have a third perspective of this
sure.
and everything.
Yeah.
And I just find this sad. I just find yeah. it like, you know, these guys had to have had some good moments together at some point. They toured, they played together for a very long time.
Very long time.
And it's so, like, imagine this, a band not getting back together. Like, mm-hmm. that's far-fetched nowadays. Everybody gets back together. Everybody
right.
breaks up, and everybody gets back together. And that's kind of one of the unique things for those fan bases.
Yep.
For this fan base, which I have no doubt is gigantic.
It must be very big, yes.
It's a very big Hall & Oates fan yep. base, I'm sure.
Yep.
That's a little disappointing. And here's another side note, and this is not just to Daryl Hall or to anybody, whether you are famous or not. Nobody has ever looked good in this situation.
No.
Nobody has ever punched down and you've been like, yeah, that was cool. Nobody. I don't care if you're the president or if you're Daryl Hall or anybody else. Mm-hmm. Punching down has never made you look cool or
nope.
tough or
nope.
strong.
Nope.
You could not look weaker as a human being by punching down.
It's hubris. It's like this massive hubris that he's dealing with. So
I don't mean that as a shot as John Oates, but I don't think it's not far-fetched to say that Daryl Hall is more famous than John Oates.
Yeah.
Or anything like that.
And again,
to his own credit, to his own point,
yeah.
he's saying.
Right, and you know what? I don't hear John Oates talking about this.
No.
So,
it's kind of a sad
thing. It is a little sad.
Lame on his part, Daryl Hall's part, and kind of sad on the other part.
Yeah, he's had such a successful career. Why even dwell on it, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway.
So, and this is a big one, and this is one that I really wanted to get into with you, and I wanted to talk about with the audience a little bit, because there's been a lot of talk about the Oscars, certainly since they just happened, mm-hmm. and Demi Moore, you know, not winning. And the upsetness of this. Well, the Oscars have been accused of being too white, and maybe the real problem is that they're, and that has been an issue in years of past, mm-hmm. and it is still a bit of an issue. If you're a Jewish actor, the only way you're winning an award is if you're playing a Holocaust survivor.
Right. Specifically Jewish kind of thing.
Yes,
yeah, right.
Yeah. Please name me the list of Jewish actors that have won the Academy Award for supporting actor or actress or winning, and it had nothing to do with being Jewish or the Holocaust. Like, that's just it. As a Jewish actor, I know that. I know going into it. That's the only way I'm going to be taken seriously is if I play a Holocaust survivor. That's it. There's certain stereotypes that exist that people don't want to talk about or people don't care about because they're not sexy, they're not interesting, not a celebrity attaching their name to it. Mm. That matters. Matters. Representation matters. And this year, the Best Actor Award went to 51-year-old Adrian Brody. And the Best Actress Award went to 25-year-old Mickey Madison.
Right.
I bring up these ages because the biggest problem that we have, possibly in the industry, and certainly with the award shows, is ageism. One that we don't talk about very often.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out Best Actor most often goes to an older Hollywood veteran, while the Best Actress tends to go to a quite young young actress.
Yes, right.
Brody won the Oscar twice before for The Pianist. He was 29 at the time, and to this date, he's the only person under 30 to ever win Best Actor.
What?
That's it.
What?
End of list. Yep.
I did not know that.
I didn't know it until he had won that first one. Yeah, that's the only time it's happened. The honor has been won 31 times by men in their 30s, 35 times by men in their 40s, and 15 times by men in their 50s,
okay.
and 6 times by men in their 60s.
Okay.
One man won in his 70s, Henry Fonda for On Golden Pond,
yep.
and one in his 80s, Anthony Hopkins for The Father. Meanwhile, the youngest Best Actress winner was 21-year-old Marlene Martin for Children of a Lesser God, one yep. of the greatest performances of all time.
Yeah, she's great.
She's among 33 women who have won Best Actress in their 20s. It's gone to women in their 30s 35 times, and then 15 times to women in their 40s. Only 3 women in their 50s have won Best Actress. Then 9 women in their 60s.
Hmm.
Thus, the conversation we have all the time is, if you're a woman in this acting game, your 20s, your 30s, yeah. maybe you get some work, but then Hollywood has no use for you until you're in your 60s. Until
you're a grandma, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That kind of character, right?
The legend Katharine Hepburn is the only woman to win Best Actress in her 70s for On Golden Pond.
Again.
And Jessica Tandy won for Driving Miss Daisy in her 80s.
Yes.
End
yes.
of list.
Yeah. That, wow. You know, it's something I never even thought about the ages of the actors. But, well, look, I'm talking about this as an outsider, and you can correct me, James, if you think I'm incorrect. There is nothing that's not political about the Oscars.
Oh, yeah.
Every yeah. single year, there's going to be some reason. Like, I mean, you talked about it yourself. You know, you're voting this person for an Oscar because, like, as a lifetime achievement award or something like that. Not necessarily the best. You're doing it for this reason. You're doing it for this reason. And it's, what? it's frustrating when you think, you know, because we put so much importance on this, these awards, that why can't we just do it for what it's there for? You know, the best actor, the best performance, the best whatever. Okay. That's the way I'm looking at it.
It was years ago, but when I was early in SAG, we all got a letter emailed to us from George Clooney, and it was about the way to approach these for the Screen Actor Guild Awards and the Oscars.
Okay.
And you're not supposed to think about who they're dating. You're not supposed to think about their, you know, if they got into a controversy or something like that. You're not supposed to think about their past performances or their future performances or if they're handsome or ugly or beautiful or any of these things.
Right.
The work. You focus on the work over right. and over again in the email. I believe I still have it. He says, focus on the work.
Okay.
And so that's what we're taught to do.
Right.
I have done that since I've had the honor of voting on these mm-hmm. things. Since I was, this is the first year I didn't do it. And I couldn't have been more off. I couldn't have been more wrong. I voted for Timothy Chalamet and Demi Moore. I couldn't have been more off. But I tried to do this the way I thought that my fellow voters were doing this.
Right.
And I was off again on that.
Yeah.
There's a problem here. There's a clear problem here. Again, the math don't lie.
Right.
The numbers I just gave you, you can't convince me otherwise because of the data that we're seeing here.
Right.
And the way that this game has always been played, where we look at men a certain way, look at women a certain way.
Yep.
But this is also one thing I want to say. This is not an excuse for the Oscars or anything like that. This is just a bit of a insight to anybody mm-hmm. in case you didn't know. Every award show is this way.
I think you are right.
You're talking about the Grammys. I don't care if you're talking about the MTV Music Awards. Every single award show is this way. This isn't me being cynical. This is literal here, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
With the picture, the Anora that won Best Picture, they spent $6 million budget. That's amazing, and that's
wow.
something we should champion.
Yeah.
And I would love to be able to talk about. However, they also spent, I believe, $8 million or $18 million promoting the movie and sending the movie to personal DVDs to the people that were voting on the Oscars.
Right.
It takes away from this. We should be yeah. able to champion these movies. Mm-hmm. Oh, hey, here's this great movie that everybody liked, everybody loved, and instead it's all about politics and all about who got the wheels greased.
Right. Oh, that's a great way of putting it.
So that we don't really get the chance to know who's, you know, who really was the best.
Right.
Now, here's the other part of this, though. What is the best system for this? Because it's all opinion.
That's a very good point.
There is no facts. There is no science involved in this.
What do you feel, right?
Yeah. What do you feel? It's all opinion. Yep. So when it comes to that, it's pretty hard to prove otherwise or to come up with a better system.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe this is what we need AI for. Maybe we need AI to do it or something.
Maybe a more technical way of doing it.
Because, I don't feel comfortable saying that as somebody who literally votes on this stuff, but I also feel like we we've lost our right to vote, just similar to baseball writers. I don't think baseball writers, I feel baseball writers have lost their right to vote on the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
They've lost it. They've lost that right. We don't need it anymore. Boy, we got other ways to do this.
Yes.
And I feel like as actors, as important it is for us to hold each other up and artists supporting artists, we may have lost that right.
Okay.
I don't know if we deserve it anymore.
Curious idea, real quick before we go to break. And you got to tell me if I'm completely off base on this. So the Oscars stay as they are. You know, the members get to vote for that kind of stuff. What if you had a side vote for fans, for audience members? You know, they have like their choices for the thing, you know, and maybe it's not as valuable as the other one, but it would be interesting to see the difference. And I think people would be more interested in it then if they got a chance to, you know, have a, you know, something in the game kind of thing. Or maybe we do a separate thing too. It doesn't have to be attached to the Oscars.
But. Do they still do a People's Choice Awards?
I don't know. That's a good question.
I don't know if they even do that anymore.
I don't know either.
But what I like about your idea, I would like to have the votings and then right next to it, the fans' votes.
Yeah. That would be really interesting. Maybe not even give out awards. Just figure out what people thought about it. That'd be interesting, yeah.
We will take a quick timeout. We'll come back and let you know what's new on your small screen, big screen, and your local theater stage and getting some more fun on The Morning Show at WFHR.
Judge Brad Schimmel is an anti-choice politician whose positions are too extreme for Wisconsin women. He supports a pre-Civil War law that bans abortion. But don't take our word for it. Hear it in his own words.
The 1849 ban on abortions. Which, by the way, what is squat about that law?
The 1849 abortion ban provides no exceptions for rape or incest.
What is squat about that law?
The 1849 law criminalizes doctors and their patients.
What is squat about that law?
Brad Schimmel supports an 1849 law to ban abortion with no exceptions. Tell Brad Schimmel, extreme politics don't belong on Wisconsin's Supreme Court. Call 262-548-7548. That's 262-548-7548. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
Join Lou Rugani for the Music of the Stars every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. until noon. Lou brings back the nostalgia from the golden age of radio with the music, drama, and comedy shows that made radio magic. Music of the Stars is sponsored by Lakeland Care, providing personalized support that aims to improve quality of life and maintain independence for elders and those with disabilities. It's the Music of the Stars, Sunday at 7 on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
Quality Plus Printing takes pride in being able to be your full-service printer, offering amazing graphic design with exemplary customer service. No job too big or too small. They even specialize in quick turns. Proud to be family-owned and operated. We get your words out.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
Partly cloudy today. We'll get to the upper 30s for a high this afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear, 18. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 44. And then we're going to warm it up Sunday, sunny, low 50s. By Monday, sunshine with a high close to 60. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 28.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Seth and James hanging out with you. Thanks so much for being with us. Did have a little bit of entertainment news left for you that I wanted to touch on. Just a couple of interesting things when it comes to your weekend lineup and things that you have to look forward to. But I also wanted to touch on one other kind of interesting story here, because we did a bunch of them throughout the week. This one's kind of cool. David Duchovny will host and produce a real-life X-Files series for the History Channel. It's called Secrets what? Declassified.
Oh, okay. Very good. Very good.
The 10-part series will reveal the latest evidence in, quote, the government's most secretive, strange, and mind-blowing activities that have been declassified throughout history. Each episode will focus on a different topic, like the story behind Argo and the mystery of Area 51.
Okay.
David says, quote, I've always been drawn to explorations of more complicated aspects of our lives, leaning into conversations that dig below the surface and unlock a more interesting story.
Mm-hmm.
The series proves the secrets can be uncovered and mysteries mysteries can be unraveled. There's no word yet on when it will premiere, but of course, his connection with X-Files and everything.
Yes, and I don't know if a lot of people know this. David Duchovny is also a writer. In fact, he was very close to getting a PhD in literature before he went into acting, and of course, got his big break in X-Files. So he is a very intelligent man, and he knows what he's talking about a lot of this stuff.
This ties into what I was going to mention about him, too, because I think for some people, like, oh, well, he's doing this because he needs to work. I don't know that David Duchovny needs to work. Yeah. For what I've seen and heard behind the scenes and from interviews from him and everything, he's had plenty of opportunities. He's got enough money. He's kind of got where he is, and he's really focused on his writing. He's really been doing that. So as an actor, especially, he had a little bit of trouble some years back, and since then, he's kind of just been,
playing low. Yeah, kind of thing. He has a podcast, I believe, too, that has a really interesting premise of he talks to, celebrities and stuff, like about the biggest mistake they made. Which is really interesting.
Whoa.
And I can't remember what it's called.
I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, and what the lessons they took from it kind of thing, which is it's kind of interesting. So
he's a good host for that.
Makes a lot of sense, yeah.
It is wild to think about certain celebrities and the mistakes that they have made. I'm putting mistakes in quotes.
Yep.
And where their careers have gone. Somehow they never bounce back. And then others, like, think about Rob Lowe.
How many lives has he had?
Rob Lowe, we're kids. He's part of the Brat Pack. He has a sex tape come out, and his career is supposed to be dead.
Yep.
We're never supposed to see or hear from him again. Right now, Rob Lowe's got three shows.
Yeah,
like,
right.
He's doing right
game
now.
Shows.
Yeah,
he's doing all
he's
kinds
all over.
Of stuff.
He's a baby face now. He's a baby face. Like, it's hilarious. It's interesting and hilarious at the same time to me.
Right.
And I give them credit. I mean, I'm not taking
anything.
That's not a shot at Rob Lowe. It's a credit to Rob Lowe and his agent.
He must have a very good agent.
Very good agent. Just interesting.
Yeah.
Looking at what's new on your small screen, big screen, and your local theater stage this weekend. Tonight, CSI NCIS Sydney premieres. Man, they got a lot of those NCIS shows. I should be able to get on one of those.
If it ain't broke, yeah.
Come on.
It's dead body or something.
Right? I can do a dead body. I can play that. Real Time with Bill Maher is new tonight. And the streaming premiere on Netflix of Plankton, the movie. It's a SpongeBob movie.
Nice.
Let's see here. Also on Netflix, this eighth season finale of Love is Blind. You've got Heretic, starring Hugh Grant, that dark movie, horror movie, suspense movie, premiering on Max tonight. I Am Raquel Welch, premiering tonight at 7 o'clock on CW. I'm kind of curious what that is.
Yeah, interesting.
And Lady Gaga is the host and musical guest for Saturday Night Live this weekend.
Ooh, cool.
That should be good. She really kind of just... She is one of those people that goes in and, like, just whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. Like, just complete, like, the everything you can ask for out of an improv is say yes.
Right.
And she just goes with it.
Says yes.
Yep. It does help a little bit that this woman has been seen in a meat dress. There's not really a lot of things Lady Gaga to be like, man, wow, did you see what Lady Gaga did on Saturday Night Live? Like, I don't know.
One thing, she's never been shy.
Yeah, yeah.
She's never been shy.
And very talented. I'm looking forward
absolutely.
To seeing how she does there.
Yep.
The 23rd season premiere of American Idol is this Sunday, along with the premiere of Yellow Jackets and Naked and Afraid. Oh, that show's still on. I didn't know.
Is? Wow.
And Last Week Tonight with John Oliver was also new this week on your small screen. Looking at your big screen, nothing too big, a lot of small releases, not a lot of big releases. In the land of the in the Lost Lands, that is going to have a bit of a limited release. It's from George R. R. Martin, writer of the Game of Thrones
Game
books.
Of Thrones stuff, yeah.
Dave Bautista, Mila Jovovich star in it.
Oh.
I do like both of them a lot.
Yeah, those are very nice.
There's also Queen of the Ring, rated PG-13. It's a biographical drama about female wrestler Mildred Burke. She became the first million-dollar female athlete in history.
Wow.
Emily Bette Richards is, I believe, playing her. Walter Goggins, Martin Cove, Josh Lucas, all in it as well.
Mm.
Walter Goggins.
I love Walter Goggins. He's awesome.
Anything he does, I'm a fan of. And the big one being released, this is, I cannot stress enough, there's a lot of people excited about this one. Mickey 17, it's rated R. Robert Pattinson stars as a disposable employee who is sent to colonize an ice world. Whenever he dies, a new version of him is generated with most of his memories intact.
That's an interesting premise, if nothing else. That's a very interesting premise.
It's directed by one of the better directors out there, Bong Joon-ho, who directed Parasite.
Yes.
So with him, though, his career, he's never really had a budget. They gave him a big budget with this one. So I'm very curious to see how it is. Mark Ruffalo, Toni Collette, and Stephen Yeun star in it as well.
Ooh, nice cast. Sometimes that can be a good thing.
Yeah.
Or that if you're used to, you know, small budgets and having to do it on a shoestring, sometimes you don't know what to do when you have all the resources or it, you get, you know, over you overdo
yes.
it, right?
Yes.
Yeah, right. We'll see.
I do this with him whenever I have the opportunity because I just a bit of I'm so big about artists supporting artists.
Mm-hmm.
And
yep,
there's really right. one actor you've ever heard me take shots at on the air. And
right.
there's only one you'll ever hear me yep. take shots at on the air, regardless of how I feel inside or whatever I say to Seth privately. but I was wrong about Robert Pattinson.
Mm.
I thought he was just a Twilight guy. I thought he was just a vampire actor, all that stuff. I didn't watch a Twilight movie, saw bits and pieces of him and everything.
Right.
He is incredible. Very good. Works
yeah.
really hard at this craft. And every time you see him, he has taken acting classes and worked at this. And it's very impressive to me what he's been doing and where he's going to go with his career.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because he's only getting better every time you see him.
Right. And you know what? It's, to be fair to everyone that was in the Twilight movies, I've read and heard some stuff about the making of those things.
Oh my God. Yeah.
And which was not cool. I mean, some really bad stuff went down. There were no budgets for those things. They had to work under terrible conditions and they were super young.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
what are you going to do? So I'm glad most of them have gotten like a second chance.
Absolutely.
And they've shown, they're good at what they do.
Yeah. There were some horror stories about the making of those movies and the way they were, those casts were treated and everything.
Yeah.
Like James Cameron level horror stories. Like
yeah.
it was bad.
Yeah.
And of course, all that stuff is great, but what you're really going to be checking out tonight is Arsenic and Old Lace. It'll be on tonight at 7. Catch it at the WRCT Theater.
Yep.
Head on over there. There are no reruns, and you only have two more episodes to catch,
everybody. Two more chances, everyone. Head on down there.
I'm teasing about the episodes
yes.
and everything. But
I love it.
There is two more shows of Arsenic and Old Lace,
mm-hmm.
the winter production of WRCT celebrating their 50th season.
Mm-hmm.
Help them celebrate. Get your tickets at wrctheater.org. And of course, if you can't make it tonight, got a 2 o'clock matinee tomorrow that'll wrap everything up.
Yes, it is. And it's been a good run so far. I've been really enjoying it. So
how was last night getting back into the swing of things?
Last night was good. Boy, it was a great performance by everyone on the show. You know, after you take a layoff like that, it's always like, ooh, what's going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you don't know. But no, everyone did a fabulous job. It was kind of funny. I was getting my makeup done backstage and Linda Garsky is doing my makeup.
Mm.
And she was talking about the cast and saying, you know, oh, everyone's getting along so well, and I said that ends today. No.
Well, that, you were just getting into character.
Yeah, right. Now I'm going to be complete diva. The rest of it, no. I'm just
it's. I've heard nothing but great things about the show and mm-hmm. everything. A big tip of the hat to all of you and the cast and crew and everybody that worked so hard on
yep.
this. Two more shows you can catch, everybody, tonight at 7, 2 o'clock matinee over at the WRCT Auditorium. And as long as you're going to wrctheater.org to get mm-hmm. your tickets, you might as well fill out your audition sheet for Noises Off.
You should. Do it right now, in fact.
Auditions are next week, everybody. Monday, Tuesday, next week, 6:30 to 8:30 over at the WRCT Auditorium.
Everything goes back there.
Yep. Get your tickets and, of course, get in your audition sheet and
mm-hmm.
Get ready to come down for Noises Off,
yep.
Directed by the great Melissa Kay.
Yeah, that's going to be a super fun show to be in. I mean, that's going to be a fun one to be part of.
Yeah. It is the most ambitious stage they've ever done.
I think you are correct in that.
I had a meeting with Gretchen the other day, and we were talking about this, and we both feel very comfortable saying that.
Yes.
And this is a company that's put a mountain on stage before.
Yeah.
Like, it's impressive what's going to happen
with
this show.
Heard some stories about some of the sets they
yeah.
had. It's been great.
It's going to be fun. You're going to want to be a part of that one, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And be a part of WRCT's 50th year.
And
know that you're, you know, while you're taking in these shows and you're enjoying yourself and you're laughing at some of the lines Seth has or some of the other actors and everything, in the back of your mind, in the front of your heart, you'll know that you are supporting the arts, supporting
yep.
local. You're putting into our economy in this
yep.
town.
Quality of life.
Yeah. And having a darn good time while you're at it.
It's like, absolutely.
We'll play our news, sports, and partner break. Seth and I will be back with more show coming up on The Morning Show.
WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Tariffs and trade disputes can affect us in many ways here in Wisconsin. Brittany Merlot tells us more.
First off, several steel shipments arrive at the port of Milwaukee, which are destined for Wisconsin businesses. The new steel tariff will increase costs on these businesses by 25%. We are also a significant exporter of soybeans. Retaliatory tariffs on the U.S. exports could negatively affect our soybean farmers. And the state still exports over $10 billion in manufactured goods. These producers are doubly hit as they will face the steel tariffs as well as the retaliatory export tariffs. The Libertarian Party of Wisconsin believes that free trade is fair trade and that trade wars only hurt consumers.
If you work with cows or poultry, the Wood County Health Department is reminding folks to stay healthy from bird flu. The H5N1 bird flu viruses have been spreading among dairy cows in the U.S. The virus has been found in poultry flocks, wild birds, and some mammals, including cats. Human infections so far have been sporadic and can range from mild to severe. Signs and symptoms vary and can include red and irritated eyes, fever or cough, or lung infections such as pneumonia. When you go to the doctor with any of these symptoms, be sure to tell them if you work with cows or poultry or have had contact with sick or dead animals. Girl Scout cookies are available starting this weekend in Wisconsin Rapids. Girl Scouts of the Northwestern Great Lakes will be selling outside of Walmart. While the cookie lineup will feature many of your favorites, including Thin Mints, Caramel Delights, and Peanut Butter Patties, if you're a fan of the Toast Yay cookies, enjoy them this year. At the close of the 2025 cookie season, the Toast Yay flavor will be retired. Check with your local council or use the Girl Scout Cookie Finder to locate a booth. You can also enter your zip code there to purchase cookies to be shipped directly to your home. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
A busy weekend in college basketball. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Big game tomorrow for Marquette. The Golden Eagles host number 6-ranked St. John's at Fiserv Forum. It's senior day for Marquette. Tip-off time at Fiserv Forum, 11 a.m. In Madison, the Badgers will host Penn State at noon tomorrow at the Kohl Center. The Milwaukee Panthers season came to an end last night at the Clatchy Center after losing to Oakland, 72-64. Milwaukee just 3-for-12 at the foul line. In women's hockey, the number 1-ranked Badgers women's team are in Minnesota today to take on the Bulldogs in Duluth. It's the first round of the WCHA Final Faceoff Tournament. NFL, Mason Crosby officially retiring today after 16 years as the team's kicker.
I was drafted by the Packers. I got to win a Super Bowl in Green Bay in Titletown. Like, one of the coolest things that has ever happened in my life is to be able to wear that Super Bowl ring, and nobody can ever take that away from us.
That's the Packers' Mason Crosby. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Hi, it's Tori DeVito. In every family, small conversations can make a big impact. I grew up on tour with my parents. Kind of different, but we bonded over music just like other families do over sports, camping, or other interests. And we talked. Little everyday conversations from silly to serious that built a foundation over time. Honest conversations, like when my dad shared his experiences as an alcoholic.
Your honesty about that part of your life gave me a sense of integrity that I wanted to uphold in my own life. And I was so grateful that you and Mom had become these sober, stable people who were always there for me.
I wanted you to know from someone who's been in recovery more than 30 years now that hard work is what creates success, not alcohol or other drugs. Whether it's music or anything else, I said it a lot, and I'm glad you took it to heart.
Talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous, unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
Hi everyone, Seth here from Seth Faces the Music. You know, being the host of the award-winning second greatest radio show in the state of Wisconsin can be a lot of work. I have to come up with new themes all the time. So in the interest of clarity, here are some topics I will not be using in upcoming episodes.
Mittens, tinfoil, gastric bypass surgery, window treatments, 17th century Japanese art, outhouses, bowler hats, spam, clog dancing.
Seth Faces the Music, every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. only on WFHR.
Partly cloudy today. We'll get to the upper 30s for a high this afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear, 18. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 44. And then we're going to warm it up Sunday, sunny, low 50s. By Monday, sunshine with a high close to 60. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 28.
They call me Dr. Good morning, how are you? I'm Dr.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Biggest They Might Be Giants fan in the world, Seth Habagger.
Yeah, that's
James.
Right. I'm always going to put them in there. So you can't get away from them.
We appreciate it. It actually works perfectly. Yeah. I do love the idea of, hello, I'm Dr. Worm. How can I see you today? Wait, hold up. Your name's Dr. Worm?
I love that. Yeah, it's great.
I've dealt with Dr. Wu, but Dr. Worm. Life hack time, everybody. I enjoy these life hacks for two different reasons.
Okay.
It's very black and white for me.
Okay.
There are some that I'm like, oh, that's amazing. Wait a minute. You mean that little symbol on my gas container, my gas
that
line?
That means something.
That tells me where my gas tank is?
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's pretty cool. And then there's ones that I just laugh at.
Yes.
They're either hilarious to me or useful.
Yeah.
There's no in between for me on this one. And there's very few things in life like that. So I kind of enjoy that. I'm just speaking for myself here. But
for those of you who wanted pants with only one leg.
There you go. Well, spending too much time online, here is a funny hack to try. Add jump scares to the sites you can't stop visiting. There's an app for that.
Ooh.
There's an app called Taboo. Taboo.
Mm.
T-A-B-B-O-O.
Brilliant.
Yes.
That's brilliant marketing right there.
Wonderfully done.
Yes.
And they even capitalized the B, so it's Taboo.
Boo,
it's
Taboo, yeah. Yes.
And it goes through Google Chrome. You can download the extension as well. When you visit a site that you want to use less, a scary picture pops up and prevents you from accessing it.
Okay.
Hmm. You can also have it play sound effects. So for those that don't know what a jump scare is, this is a classic Hollywood trope, or has a classic horror movie trope.
Even
before Hollywood, they've been doing this.
Oh, yes.
The character opens the refrigerator. There's nobody there. And then when they look in the refrigerator, and then when they shut the door, and all of a sudden somebody's there.
There's a monster there, right? Yeah.
Or the character's looking around with the flashlight. Nothing, nothing. Then the flashes, and boom, there's the villain, you know, whatever. It's gotten all of us. Nobody has not gotten
Absolutely.
Been got by a jump scare at least once.
If it's done well, you can do it well, and just don't overdo it.
I am incredibly difficult to scare. Yes, Sam Raimi. God
bless
Sam
Raimi. Doesn't weigh too many. Anyway.
I don't say that like as a challenge you if you want, everybody. My mother's been trying my whole life. But I say it more so out of like, I miss the excitement
of
some of that and everything. I don't mind that. I think it can be kind of fun.
That's why people do it, right? They like to be scared, right?
I got burnt out of that, though.
Yeah,
so I don't have any of it anymore. So jump scares are one of those few things, though, that where I'm still human. Like, it will, unless I'm overthinking the scene. Or the movie or whatever.
Oh, and so when you like watch a movie.
Basically. Yeah, basically. I walk right into that. Yeah. You can add it for specific sites or let it choose based on your browsing habits. You can also dial in how often it happens, anywhere from 1% chance to 1 to 100%.
Okay. I mean, I like the idea that you don't know which websites it's going to. Now, that's interesting. So you're going to get, like you said, James, you're going to get inured to it. You're going to be like, I'm going to go to this website. Oh, there's going to be a jump scare kind of thing. And maybe it'll still get you. Maybe it won't. But if you don't know which website it is, now that might be more effective.
In order for it to work, you can't know what's coming.
Exactly.
So,
that's the whole idea, right? You can't know what's coming.
So that part is even more interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is something.
Maybe it'll work. Maybe it won't. I don't know.
I have no idea. I would love to see if this becomes popular, though. I would love to see if
it's an interesting idea. Either way, yeah.
Yeah. We'll see. Would you try this? 715-424-2600. Love to hear from you. Love to know if any of you out there would try this one.
Yeah.
Also wanted to touch on another story here, and this one, Seth. So this past one, I didn't have a lot of rep on because I just don't get really scared or anything.
Right.
It's National Dishwasher Day today.
Okay.
And I don't believe I know I've used a dishwasher, but it's like once or twice in my life. Like, I'm usually the dishwasher.
Right. Yeah.
It's usually my job.
Like the old joke my parents used to use on me. It's like, we have a dishwasher. It's Seth. one of those things.
It wasn't a joke in our house. My dad was being very specific. So I don't know much about this, but Sunday is National Dishwasher Day.
Okay.
And the first dishwasher was patented 175 years ago in 1850.
What?
Yeah. It was a hand crank thing, no motor. Modern dishwashers weren't common until the 1970s.
Right. Wow. Can you imagine, like... The guy that invented that thing. And then you just put them in here and you crank the thing and they get clean, you know. Either they all thought he was like crazy or they're like, no, you have to wait till a motor's invented. Oh, okay. I don't want to crank it.
We don't do this segment anymore, really, but the history of idioms and all that.
Right.
This reminds me of hold the bacon.
Oh, yes, yes.
Have you heard the story?
I don't remember the story of that one.
Before everybody had refrigeration, there was usually one house that could hold all the meat and have all the meat there. So if you want, hey, we're going to have lamb chops tonight, I'm going to go down to the Davidsons.
And right, because they got the cooling thing, right,
Yeah. So somebody was literally holding the bacon. Somebody was going to hold the bacon.
Well, they're holding your bacon for you.
That's awesome. I just love those things.
That's a great idea.
That touches a little bit in the same world to me of this convenience and modernness.
Right,
and
right, exactly.
So people out there, here are 10 things you should probably hand wash instead of putting in the dishwasher.
Oh, I hate this already.
Wouldn't
put everything in the dishwasher.
I mean, by today's standards, you would think almost everything could go in there. But real quick side note, this is another one of those things that's interesting to me. You know, we had Anna James in the other day. Mm-hmm. We were talking about maple syrup growing that's been around for centuries. And right. We're pretty much still doing it the same way.
Yeah. Not really much more you can do.
I make the joke all the time about if you have a flat tire, you're fixing it the same way your dad and your dad's dad
Cars, actually. Yeah.
The dishwasher thing, like, can we make them smaller? Can we make them more affordable? Like, everybody should have one of these, right? I mean...
Well, it is. And they do make like a countertop ones that are small because we had one.
See, I really don't. I didn't know.
Yeah,
that.
You didn't even. And again, although that was still kind of expensive, though. That's the thing.
Yeah.
You'd want to get, I would say, in the end, and it worked okay, but you want like a regular sized one.
Well, if we're going to be having every household from single to two parent households, you know, working their tails off and everything, can we at least make it more affordable to do that where they don't have to spend half their life washing dishes?
Yeah. That makes sense to me, man. Let's do it.
Wooden utensils. Don't put them in there. The heat can cause them to wrap, warp, and crack over time.
I'm putting them in there.
Cast iron pans. You can usually get away with just wiping them down, but those also can be.
Right. We don't have any cast iron, so that does not affect me at all.
I do know people that have those.
Yep.
And I hear them. They treat them like very uniquely. Like they clean them special. Yes. They do.
They put oil on them. Yeah.
There is something to those. When you have something that's been prepared on them, right. There is a little bit different taste to it, I think. Insulated mugs. Some are dishwasher safe, but not all. Check the bottom.
Yeah. Boy, do I know that one.
Crystal glassware. It scratches easily and get cloudy from the heat.
Okay, yeah, I hear that. If it's real crystal. Now, you may have stuff that looks like crystal that's not, so you're okay there.
Non-stick cookware. Copper mugs and pots and pans.
I'm putting them in. I don't have copper either, but I'm just putting them in.
But if you're doing it.
Yeah, I'm putting
gold-plated silverware. Who's got gold-plated silverware?
It's like using them on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. It does not affect me at all.
I will say, I had a friend, his first apartment, he was using really fancy silverware
yeah.
And, mm-hmm. and plates and everything because his parents gave them to him, and that's all he had. And that person was me. Yes, it was me. I did that. But I will never forget.
Hey, you got to use what you got, man.
Eating a corn dog on like this
really
like
nice $50
plate. Yeah.
Terrible. I love that.
I'm sitting there with my peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Yeah.
Cheese graters. They're a pain to wash, so it's tempting. But but it can rust at curved edges over time. Using a stiff bristle brush is better.
Nah, I'm putting them in there.
It does almost feel like a dishwasher was made for things like that.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, what are you doing, man? If it's stainless steel, it shouldn't matter anyway, but anyway.
Yeah. Pressure-cooked lids, the detergent and heat can damage those.
I can see that one, yeah.
And finally, plastic containers. Unless they say they're dishwasherable safe, they can warp and leach chemicals.
Yes, and most of them you can get away on the top rack. where the glasses and stuff go. I think most of them you're okay with that. And again, you have to read what it says on the, you know, when you buy them, or usually there might be a little marker on the actual container that says you can use them in a dishwasher or something like that. But if they melt, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Do you know how many plastic containers we have in my house?
You're just trying to thin the herd.
Exactly.
You're just thinning the herd at this point. I would say, too, like it seems like a marketing mistake to not make everything you make dishwasher accessible. What's the harm in making everything dishwasher? Even if the people you're buying them are not using it, at least you have it, that base covered if you need to.
I mean, I get the insulated cup thing because water could get inside and that could ruin it. And I get that one. But you're right, man. What about everything else? Just make it dishwasher safe.
And this is on both sides of the aisle for me. This is on the dishwasher maker companies and the companies making these products. Both of them should be figuring this out.
If Melissa were here,
she
would say, silicone. Get everything silicone because that is dishwasher safe and it's better for the environment and it's all these things. So a shout out to Melissa. I hope she's not listening, but she would say that.
Before our final time out of the week, I do want to remind everybody, we had the kids on Midday Magazine from Nakusa High School earlier this week talking about Emma, a pop musical. The kids came in and killed it. They were amazing.
These kids are amazing.
Get a preview of the show coming up tonight and tomorrow night. Go into Midday Magazine, go to CivicMedia.us, check out shows, look at Midday Magazine, listen to that interview. It'll make you happy, it'll make you smile, and it'll encourage you to check out this show going on again tonight, tomorrow night. This is a great chance to support the kids and take in a great musical. They'll have a show tonight at 7, and tomorrow they'll have a 2 o'clock matinee and a 7 o'clock show, all this taking place at the Nakusa High School Auditorium. You can get your tickets at showtix4u.com, showtix4u.com, or you can get them at the front desk right on the day of the show.
Yes.
Support the kids, support the arts. We'll be back with more show coming up on The Morning Show.
Date night is coming up. Where should we go that isn't the same old thing?
Hola, mi amore. Any thoughts for our next date night?
I found a hidden gem in Stratford called the Little Corner Bar and Grill.
Sounds good. Tell me more.
We could go Saturday and get a famous steak or lobster, a giant T-bone, and I know how much you love a good steak.
The Little Corner Bar and Grill, located next to Buccaneers on County Road M, Stratford.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Governor Tony Evers has released his budget, calling this the most pro-kid budget in state history. This is now the fourth time that Evers has put forth a budget proposal, and the three prior were all met with a similar fate. Republicans in the legislature rejected it entirely. Again this year, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss called the budget dead on arrival. To a certain extent, this is what we've come to expect from this era of divided government in Wisconsin. In previous years, Evers has eventually signed Republican-authored budgets and used his line-item veto powers to make certain changes. But could he play hardball this time around and threaten to veto the entire budget? Is there anything in this pro-kid budget that has to be there? Things like education funding, or clean water protections, or Medicaid expansion? With everything going on in Washington, now might be the right time for Evers to fight for these proposals and fight for Wisconsinites in any way he can.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
It's game day every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on WFHR's Playmakers. Thanks to local businesses Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods, you can join us 5 to 6 with your calls, sports takes, and ramblings. Covering local sports like no one else.
Clearing it out, and it is almost caught.
We'll have breaking stories, game day conversations with players and coaches, and you. 5 to 6 Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on WFHR's Playmakers.
Get out of here!
Partly cloudy today. We'll get to the upper 30s for a high this afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear, 18. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 44. And then we're going to warm it up Sunday, sunny, low 50s. By Monday, sunshine with a high close to 60. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 28.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Seth and James taking you to the top of the hour, wrapping up the show for the week. Thanks for joining us, everyone. Got a ramp. Got a ramp.
That was
Got
a good ramp. That. Got a- Terrible name for a band, though.
Yeah.
Space Hog?
Very bad name.
Terrible name.
Very bad name. We appreciate you hanging out with us. Want to say a big shout out to all of our co-hosts, mm-hmm. all of our guests this week. This has been a fun week.
Been a good one.
Let's go ahead and wrap up the show.
All right.
Get into our schedule here in a moment. But I do want to remind everybody, the WFHR newsletter got a new edition that premiered yesterday.
Yeah, it just came out. Yep.
Go ahead and sign up for it. Find out what we're talking about. You hear us bragging about this newsletter all week mm-hmm. long and everything. Go ahead and go to WFHR.com. Sign up for that newsletter. Big thank you to everybody that worked so hard on that.
Mm-hmm.
Big appreciation to all of them.
Yes.
Taking a look at the rest of our schedule for today. Stick around for Matt and Air on Air coming up in just minutes from now.
Mm-hmm.
Jane and Greg will take you right to the noon hour. A little bit later today, we'll have Midday Magazine. And boy, we got a good one to wrap up the week. Wisconsin State Representative Scott Krug will be joining us.
Very good.
And I are going to get into it. We'll talk about some stuff. Looking forward to it.
Mix it up a little bit. No.
Yeah. Who knows? We'll see. And in part two, we are going to be speaking with Todd Forcier of Forcier Fishing Guide Services.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping I'm saying that right.
He will correct you if you are not doing it. But he is a big participant in a contest we have starting next week on WIRI.
Yes. We're going to be talking about Walleye Days with Scott Todd, and also we're going to be talking about Walleye Days all next week in the next couple of weeks.
Yes, we are.
Be listening for that, everybody. We got a text to win thing coming up just between us we want to tell you about.
Yep.
Be listening for that interview as well. And a shout out to Pam Hilke and the great scheduling she does week in and week out. As I mentioned earlier, our sports schedule is jam-packed. We'll have Playmakers tonight, abbreviated version, 5 to 5:30 we'll be here tonight. We'll also, because we're leading you into where the pregame, the tailgate for you, for Wisconsin men's hockey taking on Ohio State in the Big Ten tournament, that'll be at 5:30.
Mm-hmm.
Staying with WFHR, 11 a.m. tomorrow, Wisconsin men's basketball hosting Penn State. Mm-hmm. And then a little later on 105.5 WIRI, follow the Lady Royals as they continue their run. 6:50, Assumption Girls taking on?
Sevastopol.
Nicely done. Nicely
I have done. It's right in front of me.
You're
sorry.
Great job. Great job.
I was ready.
Looking forward to that. Randy and Seth will be covering that game for you on 105.5 WIRI. Follow our teams as they continue on in the tournament. It's going to be a lot of fun. Saturday, Wisconsin men's hockey taking on Ohio State in the Big Ten tournament as a best of three series. Mm-hmm. And if necessary, there will be a game on Sunday. That means we will have some of our best of shows as far as Director's Playhouse, Seth Face the Music, and Unlabeled.
That's correct.
So be listening for that, everybody.
Listening for that.
Good stuff going on tonight. A quick reminder again, check out Arsenic and Old Lace. That is premiering today and tomorrow. Our last episodes.
Last couple of shows, everybody, tonight and tomorrow. We've got 7 o'clock tonight, 2 o'clock tomorrow, and that's it.
That's it.
That'll be done. I will just one last plea because it's a funny show, everybody. I'm sure you've heard of it. Maybe you've seen the movie or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's a classic, and it's so much fun. So come on down. Want to see you there.
Support local, everybody. That includes the arts.
Yep.
And it includes our friends at the Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge, number 693 over at 430 West Jackson Street. Tomorrow from 10:30 to 1, they've got their spaghetti lunch.
Mm-hmm.
All the profits are going to the Never Forgotten Honor Flight. Imagine getting some great spagats while also being able to support our veterans.
Such a great program. We've heard back from veterans who've been on it and how much it means to them. It's really good.
Encourage you to do that, everybody. And our Port Edwards Lions Club have a pancake breakfast going on Sunday from 8 to noon.
Yum.
Check that out over at 801 2nd Street, Port Edwards. Find out more about that one.
Yeah.
And Seth, want to remind everybody about something else.
Yeah, the winter farmer's market still going strong, everybody. Out from 9 to 1 at the Moravian Church on Saturday, tomorrow morning. Go to their Facebook page. You can find out all of the vendors that will be there tomorrow. And follow it, because it changes every week. But we've had a couple of really good weeks in a row. Lots of people coming down there, and you're going to want to do that too, because we got lots of really cool vendors. So come check it out, 9 to 1 at the Moravian Church tomorrow.
Encourage you to do that, everybody. Mm-hmm. And keep in mind, you can see the list of vendors at their Facebook page.
That is
correct. Go check that out.
Mm-hmm.
A woman in New York named Sandy Flash had an emotional meeting with the little boy she saved by donating part of her liver.
Ooh.
Her husband got a new liver in 2022, and it inspired her to donate part of her own as a way of giving back.
Wow.
The one-year-old boy's name is Sonny, and he is doing great.
Ah, lovely story. Man, paying it forward. That's a great story all around.
Those stories get me every time.
Yeah.
And a 17-year-old girl in California named Sophia Park just became the youngest person to pass the state's bar exam. She got her law degree this year after enrolling in law school at the age of 13.
Oh, my God.
And she also earned serious bragging rights because the record used to belong to her brother,
oh
Peter.
My.
He passed the bar a year ago at 17 years and 11 months. She passed it at 17 years and 8 months.
Well, I hope they go into practice together, you know. I'm sorry. I'm just thinking of the courtroom scene with
yes.
these two teenagers.
Yes. if they were the siblings that did the whole moving their arms thing and then going after each other, I want to see them do that in a court case. Yeah.
Hilarious.
And I want to thank them also because some TV network is going to turn that into the next Doogie Howser.
Oh, like, 100%.
That's definitely going to happen. Like, they're not
teenage lawyer.
A guy in Georgia named Dylan Betts was driving home from work last month when he saw a house on fire.
Ooh.
Kicked in the front door and got the owner out. A reporter asked him why he risked his life for a complete stranger. His answer was, why wouldn't he?
The best answer.
You're right. Yep.
What else are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
I think about, you know, putting yourself in that situation. It's like, it's almost a reaction. You just got to go. You got to do yeah. that kind of thing, you know? You don't think about it.
It's a very impressive story.
Yeah, love it.
A woman in Michigan scored some coupons for free lottery tickets and won $10, and then she used the winnings to buy more lottery tickets and won a lot more.
Okay.
that's very, very happy for her.
Very lucky, yes.
And we were very, and the other good story of the day is all of you.
Yep.
Whether it's Diane writing us a thank you card,
thank
or
you,
it's
Diane.
You guys stopping by and saying hi, or the calls or the feedback we
love
get
it.
Off air. Thank you so much. You guys are the best. We
yep.
appreciate you. Seth, great show. Have a good run this weekend.
Yeah, thank you, sir.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The Labor Department reports a solid 151,000 jobs added to the economy last month. Business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
In terms of sectors, healthcare continues to provide consistent job growth, adding 52,000 positions. Government jobs were down by 10,000, but this is clearly just the tip of the iceberg.
Numbers do not reflect government worker layoffs or the new trade war. President Trump told government agency heads they're the ones who should decide who stays and who goes, not Elon Musk. CBS's Nancy Cordes.
Cabinet members have found themselves sometimes overruled by Musk and members of his DOGE operation when it comes to cutting both personnel and programs.
Tonight, a man in South Carolina will become the first in the country in 15 years to die by firing squad.